ladies and gentlemen, friends and enemies.
WXDC, no sellout. We're not even on sale at all because it's free. Welcome to the podcast. It's 10 o'clock in the morning. What the hell am I doing recording a podcast at this time? I haven't done one at this time since the last studio. And that's over 3 years ago. So, hello from the morning time. I am groggy and not with it at this time of the morning. But here I am. I find myself with a bit of downtime. And that's scarce and rare these days. It's early, going on mid-December 2008. The year has flown by. And it's the 11th of the month. Is that early or mid the month? It's nearer the mid than it is the early, so it's the middle of the month. What a quick year that's been. My God. We've just come back from our first holiday of the year, which was a weekend away in the south of France. Wonderful. And directly before that, on the Thursday night, was Billy Bragg in Vicar Street. It's like going to get your batteries recharged going to a Billy Bragg gig. I was thinking about it the other night and I thought, well, why do you think that? And it was because when you go to see some bands, you don't know if you're seeing their last gig, because there'll be musical differences or they'll be dropped from their label and they won't have another gig. So you're going to go to a gig and you say, I'm at the gig, this is great, I was at the gig. With Billy Bragg, you know he's not going to split up with himself. And he'll keep on going, so you will see him again in the future. So when you're at a gig, it's more relaxed. It's not like, this could be the last gig. Not that that goes through your mind when you're actually there, but it must be down there somewhere deep in the psyche. You don't go through that at a Bragg gig. You just get your batteries recharged and you enjoy yourself. The night before that was Blippin' Beer in Dublin. Dublin's first Blippin' Beer, from blippinbeer.com. blippinbeer.com. And that's all got to do with stuff that happens on blip.fm. Check it out. blip.fm/Brian Green for my stuff. And before that, my brain cells don't remember. But we were gigging in November as well. Early November, my radar started to pick up some chatter and noise to do with a artist, Abigail Smith, and it was coming across channels I was tuned to in social media, MySpace, Twitter, Blip even, and I started to get interested. And I, using the brevity of social media, made a comment about the artist. And I think it was misunderstood, and is probably the medium is to blame in that regard. And I said I would go along to her next gig, which was, I think, the 11th of November, which would be a month today. There you go. And I went, but I was willing to go, and it was in a venue that I would not be not at home at. Too many knots in that sentence. It was upstairs in Whelan's, where I have been before. I went to see Corinne Polworth on the Looking At poster on wall. That looks like my birthday, but it's not. Move the figures around. The 10th of June I was in upstairs at Whelan's. Yeah, not the 6th of October. Right, okay. American dates, Irish dates, a bit weird. So that was, I think, the Tuesday evening. And I was due to go to a Paul Heaton gig in the Academy on the Thursday. I was on the guest list, thanks to my good pal Martin Hutton, and I think it's worse when you can't go to a gig than if you'd paid the ticket. And you would think the opposite, that you'd paid good money to go to something and you can't go along. But if you're on the guest list and you can't make it, I think you feel a bit worse. Back to Whelan's, and so we sat in for a night's entertainment with Abigail Smith and her band and her entourage, who do support, and it's a big collective thing. So we'll have a listen to a song, an interview, a song, and get out of here. Welcome to the podcast. front of stage after a gig with Abigail Smith. Hello.
Hello, how are you?
I'm okay. How are you? You've just come off stage.
I feel great. I always feel really happy after doing a live gig.
Let me talk about that. Happy. I looked around the band and the band are six strong, is it?
Yeah, there's six of us at the moment, yeah.
Okay, I'm looking at the keyboard player. She is the happiest up there. She is really with it. What's her name?
That's Grania Deary on the keyboard, and she is very happy when she plays, big time, yeah.
She was totally into it. I did not see the drummer, so we leave him out. Is it cello on the right there?
That's Lioba Petrie on the cello, yeah.
She is into it. I'm looking at your violinist, and she is into it. And your bass player, well, he's so-so, he's there, but he's a bass player.
Yeah.
He's cool.
Yeah, he is cool, yeah.
And you're totally into it.
I am really into it, yeah.
So just that leaves the drummer, who I didn't see, he's happy up there?
He's always happy, very relaxed character altogether, yeah.
Yeah, I find that kind of extraordinary, particularly the keyboard player and everybody else. You're so happy up there. What is it?
Well, we're all friends as well outside of just my band, and we all would play music together quite a lot. So many different types of music. We'd play classical music together as well, and I'd play in Andrew's band, who's the bass player, and then I play in other bands as well with the cellist, and we all sort of play in lots of different groups together. So it's always good fun playing together, you know. We all kind of understand each other well, so.
What's the name of Andrew's band that played support tonight?
They're called Incommunicado.
And you're in that band, is it?
I'm in that also, yeah. I play viola in that band too, yeah.
Okay, I have to ask, where is that going? What is that all about?
His band? Yeah. Well, tonight was his first gig with the band, his first live gig. And so it's a very exciting night for him, and I think I can see great potential in his music. And he's really into lots of different types of music. He's actually sings in choirs, and he also is a fantastic piano player. And he's also writes choral music, believe it or not. So he's a really talented individual. Well, they all are, to be honest with you. I'm very lucky to have, you know, to be in contact with all these different musicians.
My tuppence worth on his performance would be that his rhythm guitarist, who did vocals on one song, and his lead guitarist are superb, but they're totally understated. They were very nervous up there tonight.
Yeah, I think everyone is always a little bit nervous the first time you do something like with everyone on the stage. So, but yeah, they're both fantastic musicians. It's actually Simon, it was his first live gig in over a year and a half, so he was quite nervous.
But that was the lead, was it?
That was the fellow who was over on this side. The
lead guitar.
Yeah. And he told me afterwards that he really wants to start playing more again now, so that's brilliant.
Well, enough of them and more about your band. I've got a problem trying to, and people try to do this, pigeonhole. Put a music in a category and say that's the box that music happily fits in. I need to kind of ask you, where do you see your music fitting in?
Well, I think that question is a difficult question, because it's like saying to a person, where do you fit in this world? And as you know, most people don't really know where they fit in unless they're, I don't know, 85 years old or something. But I suppose, I hope my music would fit into people's hearts and maybe make them feel uplifted and happy, and, you know, that's, but I don't know. I mean, some people say it sounds a bit like, I don't know, Kate Bush or Bjork. Well, I don't know, though. Like, it's really hard. I always find it hard to compare music, personally, like, because it's kind of like, I don't know, trying to compare two different cats or something, or I don't know.
Is it unfair to categorize it? Because I think, you know, people aren't comfortable unless it is categorized and say, you know, that's where that is.
I know. I don't know why that is, you know, because personally, like, there's so many different types of music I love, and you know, if it's good music, I love it. Like, if someone's heart is in it and they're really going for it, whether it's that they're a composer, or, you know, they're playing jazz or classical music or pop, or there's just so much music out there that I think to categorize music is sometimes a mistake, you know, but I do know why people want to do that, because, I mean, human beings, we always want to put words and label things.
We want
so
badges and labels, yeah, and things, yeah. So saying that, let me see if what you think of what I'm about to say. I heard Tori Amos, I heard Kate Bush, I heard Shakespeare's Sister, but of all of them, which are very popular, I heard music that didn't want to necessarily be popular. It wanted to be played. It wasn't a popular performance, and that's not to say it wasn't good. It was brilliant, and there was I can pick out great tracks from tonight's performance. But it was more about the performance than trying to be 3 minute hero type pop song.
Yeah. Well, I suppose for me, when I'm writing music, I'm not really thinking in that way, I suppose, about trying to... I mean, I have thought about structure, you know, about verses, choruses, all of those things. And I suppose I'm going with emotion more than anything. So I think emotion is the important thing in music because, well, that's what music's really all about, isn't it? Emotion.
Are you taking those songs as you write them to a particular place, and call it another place, but a particular place that you want the song to go, rather than let's get a catchy melody, which is what a pop song would just do. Like, we would stop there and say, got my catchy melody, now I'll put my best into the song. You're taking it way beyond that.
Well, I think, I don't know, I hope some of the melodies are a bit catchy, but I think for me, I often come up with songs as I'm, say, walking along, or if I experience something or see something that moves me, and then that's how songs often start for me. So it's not like I choose, you know, the melodies, or they kind of like almost come to me or something, do you know?
I don't, but we'll listen to some more of your music and see if we can understand that. Shout out your MySpace and your website and how we can hear more of your wonderful stuff.
My MySpace is the whole MySpace thing, /, and then Abigail Song. So, and then my website is www.abigailsong.com.
Abigail Smith, many thanks for talking to us after your gig, and we'll hope to see you again soon.
Thanks.
Wonders. of the space I fill. Catch me as I move through. Catch me as I move. I sing within, walking through the night with you. I sing within, walking through the streets with you.
Wonderful stuff. Our live recording wasn't quite up to the production standards of the studio, so but worth going to see live. Abigail Smith, Abigail Song, the band, wonderful. What did we hear just there was Nighttime Walking, which was recorded with Lioba on cello and Grania on the grand piano. And the first song before the interview was the newly mastered O Sam. And that's the one that will be turned into a video, having won the Hot Press Tisch Film School competition through the Hot Press. And that's in production at the moment. Check out the blog for more details on that. That's about it. We're going to play out with some sounds of France and we're gone. Take care. Bye bye.
Get ribbon from your hair. Shake it loose and let it fall. Play it soft to get your skin.
Thank you. Bonjour, on est à l'entrée de la cité. Il nous faudrait un taxi pour aller sur l'aéroport, s'il vous plaît.
Vous êtes à côté du manège, là ?
Oui, c'est ça.
Vous attendiez la navette, elle n'est pas venue ?
Ah non, pas du tout.
Oui, d'accord, allez, on arrive. Hein.
Merci.
Ouais.
Dans votre premier roman, Le passé devant soi, qui est paru chez Phébus, vous avez choisi donc d'écrire sur le désespoir souverain, la tragédie qui a frappé le Rwanda, c'est-à-dire le génocide. Vous êtes né en 81 au Rwanda et durant la guerre, donc, vous avez entamé un petit journal intime que vous avez perdu au moment de la fuite. Et donc c'est pour retrouver, récupérer les morceaux de ce journal perdu que vous avez écrit Le passé devant soi, un roman, une œuvre de fiction absolument, qui a d'ailleurs obtenu un prix. C'était le prix Ouest France Étonnant Voyageur. Et Pascal Rose, dont c'est le travail, va nous pitcher votre roman.
Bonjour Monsieur Gatouré. Donc votre roman en fait tisse de trois voix, ou du moins au départ c'est ce qu'on croit comprendre. Une voix très discrète, présentatrice, et puis la voix de deux personnages, l'un qui s'appelle Nico, que l'on surprend au départ dans une grotte, qui est dans une île, l'île du Nez, dans un pays qui ressemble au Rwanda sans être jamais nommé. Et ce personnage est plus ou moins en train de mourir. Il est là avec des grands singes, des gorilles. Il est muet et il est hanté par des souvenirs. Et...
J'ai volé mon âme à un clown. J'ai volé mon âme à un clown. J'ai volé mon âme à un clown.
Contact FM, toutes les musiques, tous les tempos. Contact FM. Contact FM.
Mais je trouve que c'est le problème de l'autre, comment il reçoit ça et comment il interprète. C'est plus tellement bien. Donc j'écris
pas une bonne raison et surpeuplé.
Chose qui n'existe jamais tant que le manque qu'elles ont laissé. Ça ressemble à ces grands.
Airport 1985. Proceed to the boarding lounge now with boarding.